Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 873. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shadeed Abdul Hadi. What is up, good sir?
What is going on, everybody, in the wild world of grappling? It's good to talk wrestling, especially a day where they drop a picture of the Iron Claw, new movie about the Von Erich family that's coming soon. And seeing all of them, Zac Efron and the dude from the beard with that goofy Von Erich haircut, and a few cycles of Samoan chicken breast and broccoli, as we'll say, it just shows that wrestling is definitely in, like, you know, a little mini boom period.
Yeah, I mean, those are some big names to be put in such a film. So, yeah, I mean, and that's... I guess I'm still not terribly familiar with the whole story, you know what I mean? I don't watch a lot of the Dark Side of the Ring type of situations, and I feel like they're very Dark Side of the Ring situations.
Yeah, like, I'm not at that. Jeremy's a little older than me, so maybe he has more experience. That, like, I never watched World Class, so the only thing I know about the Von Erichs was Kerry Von Erich and WWE. And it was kind of like, it was weird because they treated him like a big deal, but I had never heard of him. And I was like, I see this big Texan guy, and they're making him out to be a big deal, but I don't have any context toward it. I didn't even know the whole thing was, like, by the time he got there, he didn't have one of his feet. And I didn't know any of the story behind his family till, I want to say, the 2000s?
Uh-oh.
And then I start hearing about Fritz Von Erich and, you know, his son's dying and them running shows and that being a tragic family. And I was like, this seems icky.
Yes, very.
But then by the time I was at that age, I realized that wrestling in general was very icky once you look behind the curtain. So.
Oh, yeah. Thank goodness it's at least not that style of icky anymore. But yeah, I guess I did watch him a little bit in World Class, I think. I mean, maybe it's just because I'm trying to remember if ESPN, those were live or those were just reruns by the time I actually got ESPN, which was quite some time down the line.
Yeah, like I think when I was watching wrestling on ESPN, it was AWA, and it just always seemed weird because it was like it seemed like they was wrestling in front of like 20 people.
No. it was wild seeing like the real like gym setups for those situations. Like everyone had like fold up plastic chairs that they were sitting on. Like it always felt like a literal bingo hall yes. Vibe to me.
We have definitely moved very far from those days because now, you know, we're watching wrestling and WWE just has consistent sellouts wherever they go, whatever type of show. And I'm actually going to my second NXT show, but the first one that we was since it became like officially NXT. Because the first time I saw NXT was WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, okay.
The one in Santa Clara.
Okay.
And that was wild because I went Friday. It was Friday night, and I think it started like 11:30 Pacific time.
Oh my gosh!
And it was a full house. It was like maybe it was like on a college campus, and it was probably like, you know, 3,000, 4,000 people, full house, 11:30 at night, wrestling fans who had been out all day in California, so you can imagine how that smelled. And it wasn't marketed, it wasn't on TV, it wasn't like, you didn't know what the matches were going to be, the tickets were like maybe $25, $30, it was like every ticket was the same price, and the big thing was, I remember Tyler Breeze was a big deal, and it was, and Bayley was like, they treated her like she was a rock star. And I remember going there, it's like, you know what, this NXT might be a thing, because like it has this rabid crowd and it wasn't really marketed, and it was kind of like a test experiment to see how it would work.
Yeah.
And now, years later, they're having a Great American Bash in Cedar Park, Texas. It's an Austin suburb. And so far, they sold about, I want to say, 3,000, 3,500 tickets.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and the ticket's, like, reasonably priced. Like, I got a ticket, like, section, like, 117, like, row C, like, $100 after tax.
No, that's not bad.
Yeah, I could have got floor, but it was like, I have learned, unless you're in the first two rows, floor is a waste of time. I did not feel like standing up the whole time, and if I was in floor seat and some asshole had some sign blocking my view, I would be upset.
Amen to every word of that. I don't think I'm ever gonna pay for the first two rows at a WWE event, even an NXT one.
Yeah, they were, I think, row C, they were charging $200, and like the first, and it was like not even like hard camera. I think like the first two rows, they were charging like $500. I'm like, I'm not paying $500 to see Carmelo Hayes. I like Carmelo Hayes, but no. I refuse. Like, I'm at a point now where I will watch wrestling, but I'm kind of picky about how much I want to spend because I want to be comfortable, and I will feel a certain way. Like, you know, I like Mr. Green's shirt. If you want to have that fame and always be in that same seat, no matter where they are on this goddamn planet, I'll let him do that. I just wanted to see NXT, and I wanted to, like, see how it is now in a nice, cozy crowd, not spend too much. Because it's, like, it's weird because they have – normally we just, like, takeover shows or the live event show. They normally used to have, like, four or five matches, and this one has seven, including, like, one on the pre-show.
Oh, you know what? And that was something I didn't pull up the card for that.
Yeah, so I know they have like the pre-show is Metaphor versus Dragon Lee. What's the guy's name?
Jesus.
Nathan Frazier.
Yep.
Valentina Ferraz and Yulisa Leon, which is a what? That just seemed like a very random faction. But it works.
Both them and the faction they're fighting with are both randomly thrown together and somehow work.
Yeah, at least Noam Dar's excuse is he gets along with black people, especially black women. So, yeah. And I like how that's a thing both in wrestling and real life. And that faction should not work, but they work. So that's the pre-show match. Blair Davenport is fighting Roxanne Perez and Anything Goes match. I think like that match, you know, of course Booker T would teach her how to fight in a supermarket because he has experience. Yes, and I was laughing saying that, like, that. I'll get to that later, but that was funny. Baron Corbin is wrestling Gable Stevenson in his first match.
Oh, okay, yep.
Tiffany Stratton and Thea Hales having a submission match for the title.
Yep.
Gals is fighting your boys.
The family.
For the tag team titles. Carmelo Hayes is wrestling Dragon off for the title. And is there a match I'm missing?
You are missing. You've named all of them except for one.
What match am I missing? Oh, the triple threat.
Yes, sir.
The Dirty Dom Mysterio, Mustafa Ali, and Wesley. And if somebody told you 6 months ago that'd be one of the matches, like that would be an NXT title match, you'd be like, how? Because they just decided, I don't know when it started, they just decided, like, you know what? We're going to treat NXT like a third brand, and we're just going to have people from WWE to show up on NXT. And vice versa.
It's definitely been an interesting bleed over since WrestleMania, where people just pop up sometimes.
And it works because they incorporate a storyline. Like,
yeah.
The Judgment Day have become the MVP of, like, Raw and NXT. And it's funny where they used to be this team that nobody took seriously.
Oh.
Like they like mid-card like villains, like high highs, like they out there acting tough, but they never win. And now they're like the preeminent heel team on Raw. And now they bring that same energy to NXT. I don't know. I know why people hate Dominic Mysterio, but the level they hate him is just amazing to me. Like, they cannot stand him.
He is a boo machine right now, and it is something to behold. Like, I'm not sure who's had this level, this consistent level of heat in quite some time.
I want to say Edge. that's how far you gotta kind of go back. Like, yeah, I want to say it's either Edge, or like, because I don't even think Randy Orton was, he was hated, but it was like hate with respect. Like people fear Randy Orton.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
sociopath. Like, yeah, I want to say it's either Edge or Triple H, and that's a long ass time ago. And like to be in that same category with those two, it's just saying a lot. Like, they cannot stand him. And the worst thing about it is he's become successful. Like, when he beat Wesley for the title, I could not believe my eyes. Like, from a wrestling standpoint, the whole business standpoint, I understood.
Yeah.
But actually watching that happen, I just had a visceral reaction. Like, man, fuck this guy. Man. I'm old and I've been watching wrestling for a long time and I got visibly upset.
Oh man. Yeah, I was pretty shocked by that result, I will say. That was one that I did not see coming in a lot of ways. They executed it well to give Wesley a bit of an out there. So it wasn't that harmful to him to lose the championship.
Not at all. And it was like he was the greatest North American champion they had. And it was weird because when he first won, it seemed kind of like a pity title. You know, like they gave him a belt because his tag team broke apart because his tag team partner was into whatever he was into. But he just kept having great matches. And he just kept having great matches over and over again to the point where it was like, as far as ring work, he was Mr. NXT. Like, I can't remember him having a bad title match.
And I do think that it helped that him and Mackenzie Mitchell there, the backstage interviewer, had a good chemistry. And he did really good on his mic spots, too. Like, I still favor him more, I guess, for his in-ring work. But he more than delivered, I think, in the backstage mostly. Like, I don't feel like they've given him much talking, except for this week, of course, out at the ring area.
And I like that dynamic with him and Ali, because Ali's playing this whole fake friend. Like, I was rooting for you because I know you're a fighting champion, but you had to be a bozo and lose the belt. Oh, I didn't mean it that way. It's like, yes, you did. That's why you said
it. It was such an asshole maneuver on Mustafa Ali's part.
He is very good at being a self-righteous asshole. And I like how it's like, it was like, because even when they were, when it was involved with Tyler Bate, and it was very one-sided, like, I want Wesley to win, because I feel like Wesley's an easier win than Tyler Bate. It's like, you are disrespecting the champ. And it's like you taking him soft, and like you haven't done enough to move that way, which makes it even better. Like, he has a lot of false confidence that is not earned, and he's moving a great way. And then he put in a ring with Dominic Mysterio, the king of false confidence. So I feel like they're gonna have a great match. I feel like Rhea Ripley's gonna get involved. I feel like Dominic's gonna win. And knowing that NXT, and it's, I wonder, because it's not a typical NXT crowd in Florida, it's Texas. So I'm just wondering how that reaction is going to be for Dominic Mysterio.
Oh. Do you think they're finally going to turn these boos into cheers in Texas?
I say doubtful, because Texas is still a Rey Mysterio country. And yeah. It's kind of like I think people underestimate how revered Rey Mysterio is in like the wrestling community and the Mexican community, which is one of the reasons why people hate Dom so much, because he's been a long time disrespecting his father. So I'm very interested to see the match, and Dominic has actually improved in the ring, where it's like he's actually credible enough where he can cheat to win, but it's kind of like you don't feel like he doesn't belong in the ring, where like he shouldn't wrestle at all. More like he shouldn't be winning these matches, but he's winning because he's a heel, which makes it worse. And that Rhea Ripley thing, I'm like, I don't like making jokes about real life relationships, and I know people like getting on Buddy Murphy because of whatever. I'm like, people forget Dominic Mysterio is engaged himself.
I did not know that that part of the situation.
Yeah, it's like, I know it's just a funny thing. Like, in wrestling, it's still like this whole thing. Like, I remember when Buddy Murphy was dating Aaliyah Mysterio and how icky that looked. And it's like, boy, talk about long-term booking. Here we go. So no, I'm interested in that match.
Yeah.
Seeing Roxanne Perez and Blair Devereaux, like, I like what they did on Roxanne Perez, because she went from this whole "I'm happy to be here and I'm always smiling" to "you're not going to treat me like a chump because I'm young."
Oh.
Like, giving her a little edge is like the best thing to happen to her, because it's like, you don't be this whole "I'm just happy to be here and my daddy Booker T is watching my back." And it's like she was beating the shit out that girl in that supermarket.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that she definitely needed that part of her character. It's kind of good to break in and be happy. Because I feel like that's what ended up happening to Bayley. They tried to extend the happy period entirely too long. And until she turned heel, like, she didn't really re-find her footing on the main roster until that juncture. Like,
you can't be happy without an edge. You can be smiling, but unless you Kofi Kingston, you just can't be walking around just happy all the time, and that shit just working. Like, eventually they're gonna get sick of it, no matter who you are. And it was wild where I felt like she got the title too soon, because of the whole Mandy Rose thing, and then I thought she lost the title too soon. You know, because it feels like, you know, like, cause she was an awesome champion, but she didn't have the belt that long. And then it was almost like it's almost like Tiffany Stratton took a spotlight, and they tried to figure out what to do with her. And I think now adding more color to her character is going to be helpful for the long term. And then you remember, I think she's like 21.
Yeah, their women's roster is ridiculously young. Ridiculously young, because I mean, like, all of the women we've talked about, Blair Davenport might be a little bit older, I'm not sure, but I suppose since I have this open, I can pull that into another tab to check. But yeah, Roxanne's only like 21. I think, let me see here.
Hey, Tiffany Stratton's like 20. I think Tiffany Stratton's like 25.
Yeah, Roxanne's 21, so I mean, good gravy. She just turned drinking age last November. Blair Davenport's only 27. So she's pretty young herself.
Yes, they definitely have.
And Thea Hale is ridiculously young at 19. Yeah.
When they said that whole "I graduated high school and chose wrestling," they weren't lying. That was not a gimmick. And it's funny comparing those two women matches, because like the Blair Davenport Roxanne Perez is like a grudge match, where it's like Blair Davenport's been basically the NXT parking lot villain injury. Like, whenever they need to write off a woman with an ACL injury, it was Blair Davenport doing it. So
yeah,
she just, like, she's a jerk, and it worked. Like, you want to see Roxanne Perez beat her up, because it's like Blair Davenport's not likable. The Thea Hell Tiffany Stratton thing is just hilarious, because Thea Hell is like a Dragon Ball Z character. In a good way. Like, she's just turned up to 11, and her personality was always there, but you didn't know what she could do in the ring because she was just so small. But then they just let her, like, you know, just be a Tasmanian devil.
I could see her taking the place of the Tasmanian devil in the Looney Tunes.
Like, she's just so expressive. And then Tiffany Stratton's whole thing is, I'm not losing to this bum. I don't know why we're doing this again. But her whole weakness is, I'm not submission wrestling. I tapped out once. So it's that whole, give her, like, a weakness and see how you play on it. Tiffany Stratton is going to be amazing in, like, 2 years. Like, she's already amazing now. Like, when she's on the main roster and she gets that push, yeah. Like, they made her in a lab.
Yeah, 24. And freshly turned 24 May 1st. So.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Like, they, it's amazing just comparing the, like, how they book the women in NXT compared to how they book the women on the main roster. And it's kind of like, it is night and day. Like, they, I don't know what happened, because I know Triple H is a fan of women's wrestling. But since he got in charge, between injury and just whatever, it's just been rotten or weird. And NXT is like, they lose all their people and they just keep it moving. It's like, okay, next person up. You know, like, we'll have Dana Brooke and have, you know, Black Dana Brooke. And, like, we're going to do gymnastics together to train before I wrestle Corey Jane. Like, they can just do stuff like that. And it works. Like, they just have so many women and, like, different type of women, like, age-wise, skill-wise, body type-wise. Like, considering the fact that both Sol Ruka and Nikita Lyons are both hurt, and they were both kind of, like, about to get mega pushes, and have not lost a beat. Like, it has not mattered. This tells you the depth of, like, the women's division. And considering how many women have left NXT in the past 2 years, like, you gotta look at it. You know, there's no Zoe Stark, there's no Indy Hartwell, there's no Io Shirai. It's like, they lost.
And Mandy Rose was there for 2 years.
Yeah, and Mandy Rose is gone. Like, they lost almost all their top women, and it has not mattered at all.
Uh-uh. Yeah, it's wild how good the women look in NXT. Because, I mean, I think they're doing an okay job on the main roster, but it's not the quality level that this is. Because there's too few. I mean, like you said, there's two matches going into this premium live event.
It's three. Like the pre-show. Yeah. Like the mix. Yeah, like, it's mixed tag, but it's like involving four women. And it's like they have multiple women with multiple storylines, because we didn't even talk about the whole thing. Like, when Rhea Ripley wasn't bullying people on Raw, she's giving tough love to Lyra Valkyrie. Like, you know, I know you're good enough. Stop letting JC James smack you around. I didn't give you these props for nothing. So I'm going to beat you up so you can be tough. Like, she's a Kuma trainer with you and Street Fighter. And it's just wild. Like, Lyra Valkyrie is another one where it's like, she's a top-notch wrestler. And her only thing is, they almost have too many people. Like, they have such a bunch of talent. Like, everybody can't be a main eventer.
Oh.
So it's like, you find a time for, like, you know, like, in a different universe, Corey Jade would be champion. Nobody would have a problem with it. And she's like a mid-card woman.
Oh. Yeah, that's another, A, young woman on the roster, and B, yeah, she definitely looked like she was getting the big push. And lost the championship match, and I'd say that she's recovered just because she consistently gets TV time anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it helps dating Braun Breaker, so that's always, and it also helps when you're talented and can talk. Like, she can cut promos, and she is very. It's funny how she went from the spunky babyface to this bitchy heel. And it did not take that much of a change. Like, she is very, I would say about NXT women, the heels have no problem being heels when it comes to women. Like, they are very unlikable. And I know if you look down the roster, they have a lot of women heels that are effective. Like, a lot, like at least off the top of my head, like 8 or 9 up and down the card, and they can all wrestle and they all look different. It's like, and they keep getting them off of the assembly line.
Oh, like, yeah. And like you said, because you mentioned Ruka and Lions, and then who was it? Wendy Chu is out with an injury.
Yeah.
And who, I think there was one other person that Blair Davenport, quote unquote, injured. It's just like they have 4 different women on the shelf that are still available for that brand.
Yeah, like, you know, like Sol Ruka was hurt, and then they just elevate Danny Palmer. And then there's, oh, it's like another woman that looks gorgeous that can flip. And it's just like they just find these gymnasts and power lifters and sprinters and like teach you to wrestle. You know, they're like, it was funny, I was watching TikTok. And it was Jakara Jackson, Nikita Lyons, and who's the Miss Miami Heat woman?
A Lash Legend?
No. The one that comes out with Electra Lopez.
Oh.
I know her real name. I can't think of her wrestling name.
Because they came out this week, didn't they? Because that's not Valentina Feroz, is it?
No.
Okay. Oh, no, she's in that mixed tag.
Tag team. Who is the woman she comes out with?
No.
Boy, this is.
And by the way, gymnast Dana Brooke, her black Dana Brooke is Kalani Jordan.
Yes. And I just like this. Oh, you flip? I used to flip. Let's flip together. And it's a shame. I know her. Okay, here we go. Lola Vice. There she goes.
Oh.
Yes, where the. A mixed MMA fighter that looks like a supermodel.
Yeah, oh.
Like somebody that can fight in real life, and now they're training how to be a wrestler. Like, it's just insane. And it's like they're best friends. Like, the three of them is like 3 completely different women is just hanging out in Florida, and just, you know, we're going to all learn how to wrestle together. I know we talked about before. I know Candice LeRae got to be like, ooh, I'm glad I wrestled when I wrestled. Because I would not, if I was coming up now, I'm not saying that she couldn't hang. It would be a lot harder for her to hang.
I mean, I'm kind of surprised at how well she could kind of keep up athletically, but yeah, these women that they're, I mean, it's, yeah, like you said, we've talked about it multiple times. They just have a bunch of mutants that are coming into the performance center now. It's just like, huh? Like, this is not fair.
Yeah, and it's not. And I remember when they said that it was going to be their thing, like, we're going to take athletes and teach them how to wrestle. And everybody's like, oh, you can't do that. And that's how I'll ruin everybody, going to be cookie cutter. I'm like, no, they would keep trying to find the next Randy Orton. Like, they were finding guys that looked the same with crappy shoulder tribal tattoos and that goofy haircut. It's like, you see how the Creed brothers move, and it's like, yeah, let me get people like that. Let me get people like Bron Breakker. It's like, you can teach them how to move. And once you teach them how to wrestle, like, you see what the Creeds can do. You see what Bron Breakker can do. It's like, there's no offense to, like, somebody like Adam Cole, but it's like, and that's Adam Cole is like the top of the top. He has a ceiling. No matter how good he is, and he is excellent, he's always going to have a physical ceiling. Not to say he can't overcome it, because he has the ring skill and the charisma to overcome it.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing, like, you see somebody like Julius Creed, what you going to do with that? That man is that size doing shooting star presses. In his early 20s. You see some like Bron Breakers, like, let's take the best of Rick and Scott Steiner and train them. You know, it's like, you know what that's going to look like. Like, it's It's certain things you can't teach, and I think they saw what happened when they had Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar and The Rock and Steve Austin. It's kind of like people forget Steve Austin played college football, and when he had healthy knees, he moved like somebody who played college football. Like Steve Austin was an athlete. The Rock is a damn X-Men, like somebody that size moving that way, and like you already know what Kurt Angle can do, and you damn sure know what Brock Lesnar can do. Get more people like that. Get more people like Shawn Michaels. Like, you're not going to get Ric Flair. That's impossible. So don't buy like Ric Flair. Don't bother.
Yeah, if it's even possible, let someone develop into that.
Yeah, like if somebody developing that and you look into it, then you go ahead and get that. And I like NXT. It's like they're taking indie people who can wrestle and athletes who are learning to wrestle and putting them together and making stuff happen. Like, a perfect example is like Gable Stevenson and Baron Corbin. Yep. I'm surprised that Gable Stevenson still has a job. I didn't think he was ever going. I remember him when he got signed to Big Deal, and then you heard nothing.
Oh. Yeah, it was really quiet on the Gable Stevenson front after his signing for quite some time, honestly. The biggest news, I think, was when his brother signed with the company.
Yes, and his brother was actually working. So when Gable Stevenson popped up at NXT Underground, it was like, oh, he's still here. And then him and Baron Corbin, like, I don't think that match is going to last that long. It's just kind of like, I wonder how the crowd's going to take it, because I think the NXT crowd will appreciate Baron Corbin more than the main roster crowd would, because it's like he's an NXT alum. The fact that he came back is like basically starting over. It's like people won't respect that. And to be perfectly honest, NXT fans tend to be assholes. So they might look at Gable Stevenson and be like, nah, you just get pushed because of who you are. And if I Google your name, I'm going to see some stuff that I probably won't like. So I'm thinking that match is not going to last that long, nor should it.
Oh no. I think Baron Corbin has taken an L in short order with that one.
And it won't hurt Baron Corbin. So.
No. No, he can still, recreate his character if he so chooses. But Gable Stevenson is not the guy that that you're going to get the chance to do that with.
I like Baron Corbin. Like, you know, I don't really need to do this. I can go home to my big egg smoker, my beautiful wife, my big ass house, and still be wealthy. No matter if I win or lose this match. It's funny because it's true.
Oh, yes, it is.
Like, and that's always something where it's like, if the heel's telling the truth, is he really a heel? So, but that match is like, you know, that match is going to be a showcase for Gable Stevenson. They're going to probably try to build him up. And they have plenty of time. Like, he's relatively young himself. So, that's one thing about NXT is they have time. Speaking of time, your boy's going to they going to win the tag titles?
I hope so. That one,
I think they should.
It seems in some ways like a foregone conclusion for the family to win the titles. I mean, that is one of the most brilliant ways to, I'm assuming, work around an injury, a somewhat minor one, to set up this long story about Tony D'Angelo.
He was waiting for his day in court. How dare you, sir? And we need the judiciary just to be better like that. If you win this match, we don't gotta go to trial. Just out.
I mean, if you know how to bribe a judge to get rid of charges, it really should not be on national television.
Yeah. You know why I love the storyline? For a long time, I thought Stax was going to turn on Tony D'Angelo. Like, it was leaning toward that, and it was believable. And then it's like, no, that's his homie. It's like rewriting a dot. It's like they did the storyline so well that you didn't know how it was going to turn out until it turned out.
Yeah.
And it's funny where I don't know why we're rooting for Tony D'Angelo and Stax, because it's like they're heels and they're criminals, but they're just so funny and enjoyable. And it's like, I ain't rooting for Gallus. Like, fuck them guys.
Yeah,
I'm xenophobic when it comes to my wrestling fandom. Like, no. Wolfgang and the brothers, like, no, the Coffee Brothers, no thanks. I don't really like anybody from NXT UK. They kind of sketchy. So, and it's funny, you get caught up in Tony D'Angelo's stick and everything that you forget, like, seeing a man in wife beater and track pants just German suplexing folks out their shoes will never not be old.
Yeah, when he's on the list of, I believe he was a wrestler at Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken, and a fairly successful one at that. So, yeah, the man knows how to wrestle. Yeah.
And it's funny where you see him wrestle, like, yes, he can actually wrestle. It's like reverse Joe Gacy. Like, Joe Gacy looked a lot more credible as a wrestler when he stopped dressing like a janitor and start putting on wrestling clothes. Like, oh, he looks like he can wrestle. Tony D'Angelo looks great looking like a non-wrestler wrestling. And I hope they win because they're very entertaining. They can wrestle. Yeah. They definitely have something there. I don't know how it'll win the main roster. I did laugh when they had the backstage thing on SmackDown when they interacted with Pretty Deadly. Like, wait, I thought we killed them. Like, look, I thought they were dead. Like, no. Let's not talk about the cameras are rolling. And it's just little things like that, like continuity between the shows. I like that. I appreciate, like, because it's like, if you know, you know. They didn't beat you over the head with it, but it's like they are rewarding people who pay attention.
Oh, yeah, I wish that the only thing that was a minor bummer about that thing was it was only online, I believe.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of the best things they had are online, and it's like, I think it helps us. I think a perfect example, like Maximum Male Models, had they had more TV, the stuff they were doing online, had that been seen on TV, they probably would still be around. But on the other hand, it's like seeing how Alpha Academy turned out. I don't really think that's a loss. It's just, it turned out the way it's supposed to turn out.
And that is one of the stranger things. I was not expecting to go, wow, this is worked out. Like, Maxxine Dupri joining them. I'm like, wow. Because it kind of felt like the Alpha Academy was getting a little bit old. And I do think that she kind of helped put a new paint of coat on them.
I thought they were going to break up once she joined. And instead, they became baby fight. Because she wasn't necessarily likable, and Chad Gable, like, people respected Chad Gable. Chad Gable wasn't likable either. Like, everybody like Otis. He's a fat man with charisma. So,
yes.
No matter how, and they tried their best to make him look mean. They shaved his beard. They had him like a white supremacist, and it did not stick. It was like, it did not work. And somehow, just the three of them just being goofy together works. And I don't know why it works. I don't know how it works. It works. And it's like, yeah. It's just a weird thing where sometimes they see stuff the fans don't see. And they just get enough time where it's like they're all entertaining and they work together. And now it's like them and the Viking Raiders has been having this blood feud for like months. And it's like, it's giving them both things to do. And it makes, like, they don't have to be at the top of the card, but they're both over. Like, people were mad when Maxxine Dupri went through that table. Like,
oh,
oh, Nasty Valhalla with her dirty feet. Like, how dare you? And I will say that before we go back to NXT, Titus O'Neil needs to be on the mic in the announce booth full time.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. If we could replace Booker T, I would be all for it.
You know what? Booker T, I'm at a point where it's like 85% of the time he gets on my nerves, but every now and then he just drops a nugget of truth or just say something so damn ridiculous you just look at it like, you know what, I have become Booker T agnostic. Like,
I'm kind of with you, but because it's like 75% of the time I want to pull my hair out, it's a little too far in between for those good zingers that he does come up with.
I think the problem is Wade Barrett and the other guy just had so much chemistry together. Like, they were awesome together. And it's just kind of like, it's just such a downgrade. I didn't mind Booker T when he was on the main roster, but him on NXT, because I do laugh when somebody do come on NXT because you're like, who the hell is this? Like, because he really doesn't know. And it's not faking. Like, who is this guy? Who is this? Like, that is hilarious. Or, like, because it's coming from truth. And you would think Booker T should know. But I'm like, no, he like Jerry Lawler. I'm going to care as much as I need to care. No more, no less. So he's following that tradition. Like, Jerry Lawler did not take his work home with him, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. Booker is definitely not taking his work at home. Of course, I mean, if he's still running his own wrestling school, I can kind of understand why.
I think he is, and it's like, he's doing a good job. So, and the main event, Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov. It's like,
oh, yeah.
One, the few times where Carmelo Hayes doesn't have a size disadvantage. But I don't think size, man. Like, Ilya Dragunov, I always call him, like, if Wolverine was a real person, it'd be Ilya Dragunov. Like, I remember that match with Gunther where it's like, Gunther, that's the only time I ever seen that man look afraid. Because Ilya Dragunov was just using his entire body as a weapon. And Gunther was like, I don't know. I'm done. I'm tapping out. Like, I do not want to deal with this. I'm ready to go to the main roster because this man is a maniac. Like, Ilya Dragunov wrestles. Like, if I lose, they're going to murder my family. I have never seen a man just that damn ferocious. Like, he's just no off switch. Like, no. He just wrestles. Like, I don't care who I'm wrestling. If you want to beat me, gonna have to kill me. That's the only way you stopping me. It's like, he just, every bruise, every battered hit, you just see everything on his face and body. He just don't stop. And Carmelo Hayes is like, he's used to being, I'm him, I'm cool for school. And it's like, that cool shit ain't gonna work. You're gonna have to dig in deep. I'm looking forward to see how Carmelo matches that intensity.
Yeah, and it's a different, to me, matchup than, because Bron Breakker was the bigger guy, but you could sell the speed advantage a little bit more, I guess, with him. Hayes over Breakker. But you can't really do that with Dragunov as much. So, yeah, it's a different style of matchup for sure than Breakker was.
And I like how they have different opponents. Like, they test them in different ways, like, with Breakker and with Baron Corbin, it was overcoming size. With Dragunov, is going to be overcoming intensity, because it's like, you're going to have to dig deep to beat this man and hang with this man. Like, we saw Ilya Dragunov beat Gunther. We saw what he did to, like, Dodger. Like, Dragunov is the giant killer. And it never comes off as, like, insincere. Like, no. He'd be beating the crap out of these big people. They'd be like, nah, I'm done. It's like seeing a bear tackle like a rabbit wolf. Like, sometimes the bear, like, you know what? I'm
hard.
I'm gonna go bother somebody else. I don't really want this in my life. That's like the Ilya Dragunov, the type of person where it's like, you really want to wrestle this person, or you want to just like relax. So I'm sure they're gonna have a great match. I'm just wondering how that match is just gonna go, and that's what I like about the NXT, where almost all the matches besides the Abel Stevenson match is like, they're all interesting to a certain degree, and you're curious to see how the match plays out. I'm sure it's going to be entertaining, and then I'm just wondering where they go next.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, they definitely have the Schism and Creed's story still out there. Lingering, at least, it's definitely going to come carry over after the Great American Bash.
Are the Creeds? That thing is just weird because, like, they left, but Ivy Nile stayed, Kreese popped up on I think SmackDown, but
Oh,
they're
yeah, the
not, but they're
crowd.
not on the main roster yet.
Yeah. Jeremy is convinced that they are in the schism now under the masks somewhere. And I did find it interesting because I paid a little more attention this week that they did mention how the cast of characters around them is getting larger recently. And I'm like,
Yes.
oh, okay, yep. It seems like it's more than enough time for the creeds to go up if they would want to do that. I wouldn't be completely offended if they were still around in NXT, though,
Yeah,
for a little while longer either.
they are an awesome team, and Julius is a future world champion. Like, it is unfair for a man that size that can wrestle like that, that can move that way. It's like somebody like, let's take the best of Shelton Benjamin and Brock Lesnar and just, there you go, we got a wrestler. And his brother can do that same thing too, you know, he's shaped like a bowling ball. Like, that's just wild. Like, where did he, whoever is the scouting coordinator for NXT, give them all the money in the world. Like, they just know how to pick people, and it's just amazing. And also with Schism, you forget, like, I'm not surprised that Ava, like, you know, who her father is, she is a big woman.
Yes, she is.
And it's like, it's funny where you don't think about it, where it's like, she's standing like, I don't know how, but like, she's standing like, she's almost taller than Joe Gacy. And you don't realize how tall she is till like, she's next to like Ivory Nine, Thea Hale might as well be Smurfs. Like, I know they're not the tallest people, but Ava Reign standing next to him, and she might as well be Andre the damn giant. Like, she is an imposing, like, large and imposing. So I don't know how the wrestling thing is going, and I'm sure it's gonna take time. And also, I just being the daughter of The Rock is like,
No.
yeah.
There is no envy in my body for her at all.
Like, why'd she take his name? I'm like, what? The Stone? Like, what was gonna be her name? Simone Maivia? Like, it's, y'all know who she is. It's the. I would not want to be the daughter of the damn Rock and try to wrestle like all that nepotism and stuff. Is like, once you go in the ring, they're comparing you to your dad. Your dad is, if you are the greatest wrestler of all time, and somebody say him, it doesn't sound stupid. Just
Oh.
think about that statement for a second. You are the daughter of arguably one of the greatest wrestlers who have ever lived, who also happens to be the highest paid movie star on the planet. And you work in his old job, and everybody knows who you are.
Yeah, it's a lot. Again, do not envy her in the least.
Just waiting one day when she wrestles Triple H's daughter. Because you know that's going to come eventually. Like, because it's that thing where they, you know, Steph and Triple H's daughter, they're getting of age, and I know they're talking about, you know, I want to be in the family business too. And it just makes us feel old, where it's like, yes, the Rock daughter wrestles. And
Oh.
I remember when The Rock was young, back when we were young.
Oh man. Yeah, those were something else those days.
Yeah, so speaking of those days, we already talked about NXT and Great American Bash. And it's funny where the following weekend is SummerSlam. And it kind of snuck up, like, it felt like SummerSlam was a long time away
Oh.
until it wasn't.
Yeah, and my sadness for still not going is lingering because of a vacation that is happening that day. Such a bummer.
I'm looking forward to SummerSlam. And because it's like so many unique matches going on, and it's
No.
just like seeing where they go. And like, let's talk about the elephant in the room, the one people worry about. I can't believe it's the elephant room. LA Knight. He out of the top five highest selling shirts on ShopZone, he has four of them, and Cody has the other one. How did this happen?
I still don't completely understand how this happened. I mean, I feel like Jeremy and I have consistently said, oh, this guy can kind of talk you into a match, this, that, and the other thing.
I sell him short. It's like he ain't just kind of like this. If they're comparing you as the Dragon Ball Z fusion dance of The Rock and Steve Austin, that's a goddamn compliment. Because it's funny, once you heard that, you can't unhear. It's kind of,
Oh.
but it ain't a bad thing. It's like if anybody could do it, anybody would have done it. It's just he is coming out, and they are treating him like he's The Rock and Steve Austin, and that shit is just unnerving. Not that I love LA Knight. It's just wild because, like, I can't remember somebody that caliber being over to that extent. Like,
No.
they treat him like he's an Attitude Era superstar. They're chanting his name, they're chanting with him. Like, he has the crowd in the damn palm of his hand, and he has never won anything of importance yet. Like, he hasn't had a
Yeah.
chance to, and it has not mattered. Like,
No.
they know they have something. I don't, this whole they bear him like, no, they would not be having them have all these damn t-shirts doing all this damn talking or hyping him on YouTube or Twitter if they didn't know what they had. They're just taking their time. But I'm
Oh,
still gobsmacked by that.
yeah. They're letting this run a little bit longer instead of just popping it this instant.
As they should. I still think he's going to get in that match somehow, SummerSlam. Because
Yeah,
it's just.
because I'm looking. That is kind of interesting. At least as of the current moment, SummerSlam and NXT Great American Bash have the same amount of matches.
And it's like Austin Theory did on he died on the damn vine. And that Cena match was the worst thing that could have happened to him. And it just, and I mean, basically, Triple H is not a fan of Austin Theory. And since Triple H was in control, you have seen that. Like, Austin, because, like, Austin Theory, Cena was right. Austin Theory is playing a role that does not fit him. Like, he got a brand new body. He can talk the talk, but it's artificial. It's not authentic. And it's just wild, like, comparing him to LA Knight. LA Knight come out, I'm the biggest damn deal on the planet. And he believes it, and he carries himself that way, and the fans like, you know what? I believe it too. And you know when I knew LA Knight was gonna be fine? You remember that feud he had with Bray Wyatt?
Oh.
Do you remember who won the match?
Did he actually win that?
No, Bray Wyatt won. Did it matter?
No.
No, like he dog walked Bray Wyatt that entire feud, and it was just amazing. It was like he made Bray Wyatt like, you out here doing this spooky shit, like you ain't fooling me. Like, it was funny where he read Bray Wyatt for filth and made that match means it was a Mountain Dew lights out match.
Oh, pit, yeah, oh, yeah, the pitch black.
Yeah, and he made me want to drink that goddamn soda because he was selling that match. It's like that whole feud elevated LA Knight even though he didn't win and Bray Wyatt vanished. It just made Bray Wyatt look like a chump. And ever since then, it's like, yeah, LA Knight the man. He can talk the talk. He looks like a champion. Fans believe him and he can wrestle good enough to hang. Yeah. Put the US belt on him and let him cook with that.
I think that was the one thing that I was a little bit surprised by, why they didn't just pull the trigger right now. Again, don't really blame them, but since it's just the US Championship, I'm like, come on, man, let lesser people have worn this thing right now. It does. It has come up with an interesting feud with Santos and Rey. Well, maybe not feud, but at least match with Santos and Rey.
That's true. I mean, like, if Santos' only sin is he's not LA Knight, I think that's the biggest thing going against him. Was like, if LA Knight didn't exist, Santos would probably have that spot, and everybody would be fine with it. It's kind of like he's right place, wrong time. It's like it's LA, it's LA night time. So if you're not LA night, people don't want you. And it's funny where we've had that with CM Punk, and we definitely had that with Daniel Bryan for the longest time, where Daniel Bryan basically screwed Roman Reigns and Batista in back-to-back years just from existing. But now it's like now it's LA Knight has that spot, and it's just it's wild to think about. Like it's LA Knight, like he comes out and they, I listen to the crowd, they lose their, and it helps where WWE crowds has been consistently hot for a while now.
Oh,
that music come out and they treat him like he, him and Cody Rhodes, they treat like they're rock stars, like that.
Yeah, actually having 13,000 to 15,000 people in these arenas has really helped things out quite a bit.
Yeah, I think people forget how bad the crowds were before COVID hit. Like they were getting like 4,000 or 5,000 people, like sometimes 6,000 people at Raw, and now they're getting double that. Like they're getting consistent sellouts almost everywhere they go, and those crowds are hot. Like they are liking what they see, and I don't know how people, like, I know we just, people still have the snake bit thing, like, oh, they're going to bury LA Knight, like they always, I'm like, if you watching this man, you think they're burying him, you are insane. Like, no, he is, they are giving him all, they know exactly what they may not have known before, they know now. Like, they know exactly what they have, and I tell people all the time, you see how they book Cody Rhodes, and you see how they book the Bloodline. You really don't, you think they don't know how to do long-term booking at this point? Like, like come, use your eyes. Like, come on now. Like, they have shown, if they are invested into a storyline, they know how to do the damn storyline at this point.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem, is that they're not always invested in the storylines.
Yeah, as you see with the women.
So, yeah, I was like, but, we already kind of covered that part a little bit earlier.
Yeah, but the men, they are, because it's like, you see LA Knight wondering what he's going to do. The Ricochet, Logan Paul shit is just so funny, because it's like, Ricochet's out here, I'm fighting for the locker room. And Logan Paul is like, you out here trying to glom on my spotlight. Like, that's, it's stuff real cool for like a TikTok. It's like, I do that shit all the damn time, and I've been doing what you're doing with one tenth at a time. How'd that make you feel? I don't know why they thought Logan Paul was going to be a baby face. Like,
uh-oh.
Like,
yeah, well, they've at least cast him in the correct spot here the last couple of appearances.
Yes, he is a natural asshole, but he's a likable asshole.
Like, oh.
And you know why I like Logan Paul? He's not afraid to look ridiculous.
Uh-oh.
And we think about that. Like, we kind of take it for granted. This man is wealthy. This man is famous. And he's wrestling.
Yeah, he does not need to be. He's on the list of does not need to be doing this, but feels like it. And is consistently entertaining with it.
And Steve says something on Twitter that bothered a lot of people because it was right. It's like, I know it must feel a certain way when people saw Logan Paul and he was within two matches better than like 90% of people who wrestle. And no. People, is like, as far as being a professional wrestler, I'm like, yes. Like, y'all focus on wrist locks and, you know, snap toe hoses. Like, as far as carrying yourself as a wrestler, making people care about the match and having a match, is like, Logan Paul is a prodigy. Like, that man hung with Roman Reigns and looked just fine in, like, his third match. That is amazing just to think about that. This man wasn't in NXT. This man not on the road doing house shows. He shows up once every 2 months. That has a great match. And he goes back to making money and drinking energy drinks.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, and my nephew loves those energy drinks.
I heard about the caffeine content of those. I'm like, no thanks. School is done with me. I used to drink Monsters and all that. I'm glad I'm not dead. So, but Logan Paul and Ricochet is like, they're going to, I already know what they're going to do. They're going to watch Ricochet and Ospreay. It's like, you know what? We're going to do that, but better. Because it's like, dudes are two of the closest people they have to like video game. Like, it's going to look like a Dragon Ball Z match. Because I remember a long, I don't know if you remember, it was a long time ago. Like, Rob Van Dam and Shelton Benjamin had a match. And I remember Jim Ross was saying, like, you know what? This is what the future of pro wrestling is going to look like. Like, the match was sloppy, but it was like they were doing stuff that nobody else could do on the roster. Like, they were like a whole different athletic talent. And I remember thinking, like, yeah, you have to keep up with that now. And good luck with that. You seeing Logan Paul and Ricochet, and it's like, I know they're wrestling first because Logan Paul wants to see his brother fight. Pray whoever follows that match, because it's like, I ain't trying to follow them. Because it's like, you kind of take for granted, like, Ricochet does cruiserweight stuff, but he's like 40 pounds. He does all the stuff Ray Phoenix does, and he's like 50 pounds heavier.
Yeah, that man is just completely jacked. Especially recently. Being with Samantha Irvin has done him well, evidently.
Oh, in more ways than one. So, and just, I'm looking, like, I cannot wait for that match. I'm sure that match is just going to be an amazing spot fest. Like, I want to see that match. Roman Reigns and Jey Uso, that's just going to be emotional. Like, this is, this feel like a damn movie. Like, the way we have said, you know, people joke around saying cinema. I don't think we ever going to have a storyline like this ever again.
A 3+ year or something in that area, 3-year storyline. I can count on my hand how many 3-year storylines I have watched doing these dumb podcasts for like 15 years. One.
Yeah, it's like the longest storyline that I remember is like, you think about Austin McMahon might have been a year and change. And that's kind of cheating. Sting in the NWO was probably, what, like 8-9 months? Probably wasn't even that long. It probably just seemed longer than that. But it's like, you think about long, we used to get the long storyline, we'd be happy if it was like from SummerSlam to Mania. That used to be considered long. If we got like 6-7 months, they get years. They still, you know, tribal combat, and they out there, you know, touching foreheads. We're going to do about tribal law. And then and it's like, I think Solo going to turn on Roman Reigns.
Oh.
I don't know when, but he just got this whole level of disgust. Like, used to be a killer. And now look, you're getting all soft because your cousin acting up. I've just noticed, like, it has been a slow build, but I just noticed the last, like, 6 weeks, he just had this look of disgust at Roman Reigns, like, once a week.
Yeah, and he did have a nice long look at the championship the 1 week, too.
Yeah, and it's like I don't know if it's time for Jay to win, but if Jay loses, then I'm like, I can't make predictions because who knows? The fact that I don't know, and Roman Reigns is the champion, and I don't know who's going to win, says all you need to say about that storyline. The fact that, like, if Jay won, I'd be a little surprised. I wouldn't be that surprised. But imagine somebody saying if Jay Uso beat Roman Reigns for the title, you could understand that.
I'm not sure I was saying that even 2 months ago, quite frankly, but now I'm definitely on board for that happening. You know, I would not be offended if that happens.
It feels right. Like,
yeah,
I know people felt a certain way about Cody. I'm like, Cody was an interloper with that whole storyline. I was like, Cody and Sami Zayn were just catalysts that was pushing the storyline. I was like, if they're not going to beat Roman Reigns, and it ain't going to be The Rock coming back from Hollywood to save his family, then Jay Uso the one that made sense. That's the only one that made sense. And it was just kind of like, they made Jay Uso into that. And that match is gonna, I already know that match is going to be amazing. I don't know how it's going to end. I'm sure the family's going to be there.
Yeah, I'm just interested in just because they haven't really laid out anything as far as the rules of this thing go. I'll be interested to see what uniqueness they bring to the table for the tribal combat situation. Yes,
and the fact that it's the elders who call for that match, it's like, Roman isn't going to tell his daddy no. I just forget, like, we forgot that whole part where it's like, yeah, who made Roman tribal chief? The elders came out that one match when he beat, was it Jimmy and Shane, and they gave him the chain? It was like,
yeah,
they decided, Alpha Seeker decided that. I was like, I remember laughing at the time, like, damn, Roman's so good. His family, like, yes, you're the head of the table. Just thinking about that now in hindsight is just insane. Like, how long ago that was, and that's happening. So,
yeah.
But it's like, they found something. And they did it, and they keep doing it. I have no idea when it's going to end. I've just been enjoying every second of it. Like, this is what I like about wrestling. A storyline that makes sense, that has you invested in, where you don't know who's going to win, and you care who wins and loses. It's not, I'm just watching. It's like, if it's no emotional investment, it's just people just, you know, fake fighting.
I was almost going to say that this is the first time since Drew McIntyre that I thought someone had a chance at winning the championship, but I suppose I thought that Cody was going home with this thing too. So,
oh yeah, those are the last two, and it was a funny thing where the Drew one was always funny because, like, he should win the title because he's at home. I'm like, y'all been watching WWE too long to think just being at home is going to get you the belt. Like, this, like, you think they get happy endings like this? Like, they, John Cena lost a title match in his hometown. He John Cena. Like, come on now.
Like, even with Triple H taking over, I don't feel like the hometown losses are maybe quite as prominent. He's not afraid to play that card, though. Like, he does not go that far from the Vince McMahon playbook.
Yeah, I mean, it never made sense. I know why people wanted Drew to win, but I was like, y'all only want Drew to win because he's wrestling where he's wrestling. And it's like, oh, he's going to win, and they're going to sing a song in Wales. And then what? Drew going to come home and wrestle Sheamus? People weren't really thinking, like, y'all got caught up in the moment. It's like, okay, that the moment, great. But the day after, like, you don't have it planned the day after, it doesn't make any sense. And Cody, I could see why people thought Cody was going to win. I wasn't that mad, because I was like, I never thought Cody should have been the one to beat him in the first place. And Cody is just fine. And I took it all the time. Had Cody won, who would he been feuding with? Because he would not have been feuding with Brock Lesnar, just would have beat him three straight times. That shit would not have flown. So
I think that the Brock Lesnar part could have worked.
Let me tell you something right now. I'm going to say this as honestly as possible. The only reason I tolerate this whole storyline is because, one, the first time Cody won was a fluke. And two, he actually lost to Brock Lesnar. Because I know Cody Rhodes is the people's champ. And Cody Rhodes is definitely over. He's the man. And Cody Rhodes can sell water to a fish. He ain't selling me that he could beat Brock Lesnar in a fair one. I don't give a damn who his daddy was. And if he's world champion, he would have had to do that. And I've been rolling my eyes so damn much, just him and that song. Beat, like, Brock Lesnar? Like, that? Are we watching the same Brock Lesnar? Like, Roman Reigns had to have his entire family dump an announce table on him to beat him in the last man standing match. Like, and Cody Rhodes is going to hit him with Crossroads and just pin him? Like, okay. I mean, I know it's wrestling, but I would have been like, alright.
Okay. There's definitely a size disparity that does not help Cody Rhodes out in this one. Yeah. I mean, and Cody is not as small as I had thought And Brock Lesnar, again, mutant category.
Yeah, like Cody Rhodes is big enough and he's established enough where he can beat people bigger than him without a problem to a certain size. And we have had this discussion. But if you put him in a ring with like Gunther or Bobby Lashley or Brock Lesnar and you saying he gonna stand up toe to toe, man to man, he just gonna beat him up in a fight, I'm like, okay, that's just because the script said so. It's not, I will not believe that. It's going to be like, it's the same thing when they say, oh, Batman plan, he can beat anybody. I'm like, yeah, if you say so. It's like, you tell me whatever you want. That's all you're doing, tell me. Because I'm not going to believe that. Like, that feels like a lie to me. But, you know, wrestling's full of lies.
Oh, very full of lies.
So, speaking of lies... Ooh, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor. Boy, I know Seth is like, I wish I didn't make them jokes. Finn Balor just been showing, wherever Seth at, Finn Balor has just been showing up, jumping him on sight, and it feels justified for Seth Rollins talking trash. Like, it's a funny thing where I get why Finn Balor mad.
Oh.
It's like, you out here running me down. Like, I won the title. I only lost the title because I got hurt. And you cracking jokes about it. You think anything funny. Like, well, I'm going to show you what's funny. Like, you like singing songs. You like jokes. I'm going to show you jokes. And Finn Balor looks, and like, Finn Balor, like, he doesn't eat any carbs. And he looks very petty and very angry. And also, he got to deal with the fact that, you know, Damian Priest out here, like, you know, I can't wait till I get the belt. And they have this whole dynamic where it's like, as long as one of us get the belt, it don't matter. And they both lying because it's like, they both want the belt. And they kind of get in each other way to get the belt.
Yeah, and it would not completely surprise me if Damian Priest cost him in some way or another at SummerSlam here too.
Yeah. The way Seth is talking, I got the feeling that he might have to take a break. Because he's been talking about all these injuries he's had and how he kind of like, my back been bothering me for 3 years. And now my knee's feeling funny and my neck hurt. And it's like, you have established that title and you established you the man and they sing your song. But it might be time to like, you know, take a break. Heal up.
Wrestlers are like hockey players. They're a bunch of dum-dums and do not know how to just take breaks randomly to let their bodies heal up.
Yeah, like, you know, it's better to heal now than you miss WrestleMania because you didn't heal and you got to take the surgery out 8 months. So I can see Finn winning, and I can see Damian Priest costing him. I can see Damian Priest cashing in. Like, I have no idea who would win that match, but I can see any of those people leaving with the belt. And that's the thing, having that both titles is like, Damian Priest is world champion. I can see it on Raw. Like, they treat him like a big deal enough where I can see it. And Finn Balor, you can see that too. So I'm sure they're going to have a great match. I don't know who's going to win. That's why I like it, because I don't know who's going to win.
Yeah, that one is definitely up in the air. Finn Balor, to me, is more in play than he was. Like, he's another one where Jeremy and I talked about it on the show earlier this week, where Judgment Day went from joke group to, hold on, like, everyone's serious in this group now. And, like, despite Finn Balor taking quite a few losses, honestly, recently, he's managed to navigate his way through it. And like you said, like, maybe it's just all the jokes that Seth Rollins cracked in his expense that have really made him pissed off and like a real threat again.
I think it's the fact they gave them so much time. Like, each and every week is like they start the show and or end the show. Like, every Raw, it's like, it's the Judgment. It's almost like Evolution. It's like they just kept doing it and they're entertaining in different ways, because it's like, you want to hate Dom, you lusting after Rhea Ripley while you wait for somebody to knock her out. and Damian Priest comes off as a bully, and Finn Balor comes off as a prick. And they're feuding with people you like. So it's like, you want to see them get their comeuppance. And sometimes they lose, and sometimes they win. So it's like, they're not invincible, but they win enough where it's like they're a threat. It's like,
yeah,
it worked. Like, they are over. And kudos to them, where it's like, they have a heel. They have multiple heel faction. Like, them and Imperium on the same show, and they both work in various degrees. It's like, that handles half of the show. Just having those two feuding with whoever. That's a 3-hour show, and you could take care of like an hour and change just with those two groups.
Yeah, because they end up involved in multiple segments, and they really chew up the scenery.
Speaking of chewing up the scenery, I won't. Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey, like that. I know they're best friends, and that's the only thing. Like, that's just gonna be come off as personal. Like, I don't like the whole, I'm not always a fan of this whole work shoot stuff, but I just laugh. It's like, nobody want to hear you cut promos. Nobody want to come out here, you talk. And Ronda Rousey's like, you just jealous because I did it like a month when it took you 3 years to do. And you got a knockoff version of me. And I'm like, that sounds harsh. Because it's like, yeah, you don't got to say that. Like, it's kind of true. It's like, both of them kind of true, but it's like, y'all sound hurtful.
Yeah, they are pretty rough with their promos. And I still, like, it's weird that Shayna Baszler is being put as the baby face in this situation.
It's almost by default, because it's like, it is so funny how Ronda Rousey went from the most beloved person in WWE to just people can't stand her. It's like, she made Charlotte like Miss Elizabeth, and that take time. And Ronda just revels in it. Like, she just enjoys, like, calling people broke and calling people losers. Like, y'all just jealous because y'all not me. And you'll never be as good as me. And also the fact that she talks like she doesn't have breaks. Like, she needs a metric. Like, she spits everything out so fast. And it's like, it's just the whole package is just so aggravating. And it's backed up by the fact that, yeah, she could probably strangle 99% of the people on the roster if she wanted to in real life. All that, well, you know what happened in UFC. Well, guess what? Holly Holman in WWE. So Liv Morgan ain't doing that to Ronda Rousey. ain't nobody shooting on Ronda Rousey like that. Talking about what Ronda Rousey do in UFC. What you gonna do with Ronda Rousey? Except for get choked out. So that works. And the only one of the people that can stand up to her is Shayna Baszler.
Oh, yeah.
And Shayna Baszler also it's funny because, like, Shayna Baszler's a bully. And she ain't all that likable either. And I remember she was the last, I remember her on NXT. I hated Shayna Baszler on NXT so much because she was just this bully that always won. Like, I hated her. Like, I was so happy when she lost the belt because I, like, get this bully on the main roster and, like, stop bullying all these delicate. I felt so damn maternal. Like, leave Kyrie alone. She ain't do nothing to you. Like, and then she used to roll with Nia Jax. They were just two big bullies, just bullying people. And now we're cheering her because she's fighting a bigger bully. So I don't know what type of match they're gonna have. I know it's gonna be they're gonna be fighting friends, because friends like fighting hard. Like, you know, we friends, so we'll still be friends after this. Let's shoot on each other.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that'll be an interesting one. Last match to really talk about on the SummerSlam card, also involving the women.
Oh my god, I don't know what to think about that match. Who are we cheering for?
Well, I know that definitely Chris and I have talked about it. Everyone in this match, Asuka, Charlotte, and Bianca Belair, have all been unlikable at certain moments within this feud.
We have also talked about on the show before. We talked about this, like, they're all pricks. And they're like all of them, and it's like in different ways. Like Asuka running around dressed like she about to go gross, like she about to go shopping, like fashion shopping. Like she got the nice suits and everything like that, spraying shit in people's faces and choking them out while laughing at them. I'd be so damn mad if somebody had a flower suit on and flats and just beating me up and laughing at me. She just do that every week. Charlotte is Charlotte.
Yeah. That type of annoying has not changed at all.
I don't wait in line. I'm Charlotte Flair. I don't know what you're talking about. You know what this is. And you talk about somebody that's leaning into her privilege, just like, look, y'all know the damn deal. I show up, I get title matches. I'm probably going to win. Why are we acting brand new?
Yeah, she has really turned that whole thing into her gimmick. Because everyone's like, I can't believe that it's happening again. It's just like, oh, okay, you can't believe it again? Like, I'm going to tell you that it's literally happening again.
Yeah. And Bianca Belair is like, we doing this shit again? You just showing up and taking my spot? It's like, nobody, because it's a funny thing. If anybody be justified in feeling aggrieved, it'd be Bianca Belair, but somehow she wrong. Like, no, she got screwed out her title. She didn't get a proper rematch. She sees Charlotte just walk her ass in there and take her spot, and everybody looking at her like she wrong. It's like, they gaslighting her to death. And she like, and everybody, and me like, you gonna get your lick back? You gonna let that slide? You just gonna let that happen? Like, everybody keep messing with, like, I can't believe you're gonna let that happen. Do people forget how much of a bitch Bianca Belair used to be on NXT? Like, I was surprised how good a babyface she was based on how excellent a heel she was. It's like, this woman used to walk around talking about, I'm the best at everything I do. You don't even go here, so don't talk to me. Like, that EST is, I'm the best in everything. I'm better than you in everything. Kiss my ass, I'm better than you. She does not have a problem being a heel.
Yeah, she has definitely pulled out the bitchy side of her character recently. And that's another one where I think that's probably a good thing for her longevity, should she want it in the WWE.
Yeah, I think people start treating her like John Cena, like, oh, she always went in, that's blah, blah, blah. So now it's like she getting that edge back. It's like, oh, yeah, we like Bianca Belair again. It's like, you should have always liked her. And I think they're going to have a great match because all three of them can wrestle. They're probably the best all-around wrestlers they have are all in the same match. In like different ways, because I know people talk about Charlotte. Like I got on Steve because he was acting like, oh, you know, Charlotte used to be the woman, but life passed her by. And it's like, yeah, they were saying that to WrestleMania that her and Bianca Belair had the second, probably the best woman match of the year. And it's like, y'all let y'all hatred of Charlotte forget the fact that Charlotte can wrestle her ass off. Like,
she did, like, when she had her first comeback, I don't know what happened during that, quite frankly. And then she took that next 6-month break, and she's been great in matches ever since then.
I think when she wants, I think her thing is she's been doing it so long where it's like, she almost got like Randy Orton syndrome. Like, when I want to turn it on, I can remind you that I'm better than almost everybody else, but half the time I can just coast because it's like, I don't really need to turn it on. She ain't going to coast with Asuka and Bianca Belair because it's like, they will embarrass her if she does. Like, she can coast.
No.
And I think part of it was she was wrestling like Liv Morgan and Shotzi and all that. It was like, you only can do so much based on your dance partner. And she did not have good dance partners. Wow.
Yeah, she was in that same boat as and not that it's a complete excuse for Ronda Rousey, but her and Ronda were the ones running up against those same two opponents. It did not do them any favors.
Yeah, and it was like, put to my whole heart while Ronda Rousey had a match. I'm like, think of her wrestling against people she had no business wrestling against. What you think of? They really had Ronda Rousey wrestle Shotzi in a pay-per-view match. I'm like, what? How did y'all think that match was going to turn out?
Well, and there was the whole, you were talking about her whooping anyone in a real fight. We had to believe that Liv Morgan had a real chance against her.
Liv Morgan was doing that whole, yeah, I'm going to pretend I'm the Sandman in ECW gimmick. Yeah, I mean, I'm insane and I like it. I'm going to put people through tables. I'm like, yeah, that crazy shit going to look fine until you rush somebody who can really fight. And I know Ronda Rousey, like, they ain't let me do what I want to do. I want to put a crossface on some thumbtacks. But they said that been too much. And I remember thinking that, I was like, you know what was bad? Parman's like, you know what? I would have wanted to see that. And then I was thinking, what the hell is wrong with me? Like, why would, because it's like, because Liv would have did it.
Yeah, she seems crazy enough and into wrestling enough that she would be in on something like that.
And I'm not this whole, like, you know, let's treat the women with kid gloves. It's like, they want to fight, let them fight. But I'm not really into that whole gratuitous violence thing. I realize I've outgrown that. And watching that Blood and Guts AEW match, I'm like, no. I'm not Jim Cornette, like, poo-pooing. I'm like, this is just... Look, you get to a certain point, they got a table with nails. I'm like, somebody just pull a damn gun out. Like, you get to a certain point, we not wrestling. Like, we out here, this is Double Dragon. Like, why are we doing the Streets of Rage shit? If you're going to do it, really do it. Get a axe. Stab someone. And I bet you they tap out if you stab them the goddamn kneecap. Otherwise... Why are we wasting time? Like, if you're going to go there, go all the way there. Like, yeah, you talking about... Man, like, forget thumbtacks. Get a grenade. Throw a bomb at somebody. Like, set them on fire. Like, but otherwise, so when I see stuff like that, I'm kind of like, nah, I'm good with all that. So I don't really need somebody taking a crossface with tacks. But, yeah, they had them wrestling those type of women, and it was like SmackDown had...
Oh.
For a while, SmackDown was like, they did. They was Xia Li and Sister Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, I know. And like, Daddy trying to carry the weight. And I was like, I'm like, no wonder Ronda Rousey. Like, what did y'all expect Ronda Rousey to do? And what y'all expect Charlotte to do? I'm like, they can't do this.
Yeah, they can only, like you said, they can only do what their dance partner brings, and at least the stuff with Liv Morgan in both cases, at least you had a good story for her, and you had the, you know, I'm crazy, I'm going to put up with the pain, at least.
Yeah.
So it worked out a little bit better than some of the other ones, but I mean, Shotzi still hasn't, well, Shotzi might finally be getting established on the main roster.
But it didn't help that while that was happening on SmackDown, there's a time Raw had like Rhea Ripley, Asuka, Bayley, Io, Becky Lynch, and Bianca Belair on the same damn show. It was like Raw. I remember Raw. It was a time where Raw would have had like an eight woman tag match, and six of them were former champions. A matter of fact, seven. No. It was like. Raw had everybody. SmackDown had two people in garbage. And it was like, what do you expect? Now the women is kind of like, SmackDown has the top three. Raw has Becky Lynch that's wasting her time with Trish Stratus. You got Rhea Ripley that's bullying. Like, she the champion, but she's not defending the title. Does he messing with everybody else? It's like, oh, you got my business. So I'm going to cost you the tag titles. Just because you might, and you know, just because Liv Morgan got hurt again. It's like Raquel Rodriguez got to find another. She turned into Kane. It's like every 2 months, you got a new tag for her.
Oh. She has, well, and it doesn't, to me, it seems like she is actually hurt too. She has really just been off TV this whole time. Like, she has not sought revenge, which is a little bit strange.
She got hurt. And she saw what happened with her. Like, you know how bad it is? It's like, you a tag team and you both get jumped by the same person. Y'all both hurt. and you're the tag team champions, and it's like y'all both like Raquel has been NXT champion, Liv has been world champion. I know Rhea, and it's like I guess we can rifle Rhea Ripley. Who's gonna be the first person to beat to hit her as a man?
I don't know. I mean, that was one thing Jeremy and I have been discussing just because the two of us have started to watch AAA more on YouTube here. They are unafraid of the man-on-woman violence in AAA.
Me and Jeremy used to love Lucha Underground for that very reason. And it was like, I think they kind of went too far sometimes. But it was like, it was almost like fantasy land, so it didn't bother me too much. But I'm like, I know it's the whole, like, it's not even an attitude era thing, because I remember Nia Jax from the Royal Rumble. They jumped her ass.
Yes.
that shit felt first, like, this is a 4-on-1. We're going to each hit this big brawl with our finishers, because we can't shoot the fair one. So, but, like, Rhea Ripley is big, but she's not that damn big. But it's like, it's funny when Michael Cole is like, somebody need to knock her ass out. That's like it's wow. It's like, you know what, it's a shame Randy Orton is hurt, because we wouldn't even be having this conversation. We already know what would have been done. Randy would have had a little smirk on his face while he would have did it. I know they're probably saving it. I mean, they have had, like, I remember when Baron Corbin laid out Becky Lynch. I think hit her with the End of Days, and I remember how much of that was like, ooh, she wasn't going to have a damn heart attack when that happened, because it's like, you rarely saw that happen, so when it actually happened, it meant a lot. When somebody does it, it's going to mean something, so I'm sure they saved it. I don't know who it's going to be. And who knows? It might end up being LA Knight. knowing how things go, he loves Stone Cold, because like, we grew up in the Attitude Era where it's like, that happened on a regular basis. Stephanie used to get the damn business twice a month. And we didn't think anything of it. It's just wild thinking about that. Like, yeah, just used to rock bottom Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, I mean, that part was bad. At least with the Rhea stuff, you can understand, since she is literally interfering in matches.
And it's like, she is begging people to hit her. And it's not just small, like, she getting a solo face, and people like, Solo, hit her with the spike. And it's like, think about what we're saying. We want to see big-ass Solo Sikoa just lay her ass out with a spike to her throat. It's like, and what other instance would that fly besides Street Fighter 2 or Mortal Kombat, where it's like, yeah, Solo, lay her ass out. But she keep getting people business and like, daring people, like, I dare you to hit me. It's like, somebody going to hit her. And it's going to be weird, because we're going to be cheering for it. Then we're going to have to explain that. Why y'all cheering for this man to hit this woman? She's still a woman. It's like, you don't understand.
You got to go into the whole backstory and how much you know wrestling at that point.
You know what she did to Rey Mysterio?
She tortured that man at home on Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. I miss those days. They were Rey Mysterio is trying to eat dinner with his family, and his prick ass son showed up with Rhea Ripley. Just that make me want to rewatch WrestleMania. I love, like, night one of WrestleMania was damn near perfect. That's one of the best. Like,
yes.
Night two, I think this got tempered, where it was like some of the matches were too long, and the main event left a bad taste in people's mouth. I think it's better now, but like, night one was perfect. Like, that was it made me want to rewatch it, because just that Rey Mysterio, like that Rey Mysterio match, and that tag main event is like, this is perfect. If you want to show somebody what pro wrestling could look like at its peak, you showed them that night, because that just felt like perfect. And that's how, and it's like, we're going to SummerSlam, like, WWE is cooking with gas. They have hot crowds. The storyline makes sense. They have stars, and you care about what's going on. I can't wait for Great American Bash. I can't wait for SummerSlam. And I decided I'm going to WrestleMania.
I thought that was already in the works.
But just in case, I was wavering a little bit, because it was a funny thing where I knew I was going when I was watching WrestleMania this past year. And then the news came out that Vince McMahon was he was in charge of rewriting, and I was like, "Ooh, I know." In hindsight, it's so funny the visceral turnoff we had. I was like, "You know what? I don't know if I'm going." That turned me off so damn much, and it was funny where it just happened. It was just one night, but that had because you saw it started with Roman Reigns winning. And then Jay White not re-signing because Vince was in charge. Then Vince rewriting the show. And it was just amazing how it went from everybody was hot with WWE to it's like, man, I know all those people mad they re-signed. Is William Regal going to run back to AEW? And in hindsight, that it was like a week. Because by that Friday and SmackDown, they was like, don't worry, we're going to be all right. And they were. It's just funny to think about that, how quickly that changed. And I think it was probably the reaction, like so many people hated Raw and hated what Vince did. And it was like, yeah, you don't need that no more. I know he still rewrites stuff every now and then. There's still some stuff he does. But for the most part, it feels like a different show. And it's like people fine with it.
There's definitely sometimes I think that I'm still chalking up the bad women's division on the main roster to Vince, quite frankly.
Yeah, I don't,
because that always seems to me just like more of a disaster for long-term planning than the men's side does.
That women tag team mess is just insane because they combine the NXT and main roster tag team titles and then lost within, 3 weeks?
Yeah, something in that area.
And it's like, it felt like when they had, it's either been injury or just, they just been snake bit. It's like,
oh.
Those tag team titles had the last time those tag team titles meant something was when Kyrie and Asuka had it and when Bayley and Sasha had it.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, like the COVID era, basically. It's the last time those tag titles meant something. The rest of the time, it's just been like, we're going to throw them on the team or we're going to make a team. We treat like a big deal. And it's like, we want y'all to lose. And they like, it's made Mercedes. Like, the tag, it's funny how we got two women who won the tag team titles. They wanted to have the belts. They wanted to treat like a big deal. And now one of them is in New Japan. One of them is in Stardom in New Japan. And one of them is on Impact Wrestling.
And you actually heard that, I feel like Ronda Rousey had even come up with a statement recently where she's like, oh, I want to make the tag team championships mean something. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, that's one to me that's still like, you screwed yourselves over here. Or how did she make that statement and then go, hey, you know what? I'm done wrestling.
The whole thing was weird because it was like they felt like she politicked to get those belts. You ruined multiple tag teams. Like, Isla Dawn and Alba Fire was awesome as a tag team. And you could have just kept the belt on Liv and Raquel. And it's like, instead, it's like, now we're going to give shots. We're going to give the MMA guys the belts because they wanted so much. We want Ronda to do something. And that lasted less than a month. And it was like, you just wasted everybody's time. I'm like, just put the belts on the dancing girls, on Katana, Katana Chance and her partner,
Caden Carter.
And Caden, yeah, just because the crowd likes them. They actually wrestle the tag team. They are fun, and just let them have the belts like London and Kendrick. Let them have the belts for like 10 months, and the tag team division will be soft. That's all you gotta do. You don't gotta make it complicated. Stop putting on Liv Morgan. She keep getting hurt every time you put it on her. So cut that out. It's like Liv Morgan has a bad reputation. Like she, I know people were horny when her and Rhea Ripley was a tag team, but it's like that. She got that didn't work out well, and her and Raquel Rodriguez keeps not working out well. It's like Raquel Rodriguez and anybody else is not working out well because they just keep getting hurt. So why don't you just stop doing that? Put it on a tag team that's really a tag team. You have tag teams. use them.
Would not the worst thing to do. I don't know. They overthink things, I guess, sometimes.
Yeah, they doing it like the Attitude Era. Like, yeah, let's put the tag titles on the Undertaker and the Rock. Why? They not even a tag, like, so they can add a title for a week? It's like, you think about when you wrap up the show and you have time, go down a rabbit hole with some of the tag team champions in the Attitude Era. Just see just some of the goofy shit they used to do. And it's like, no. As much as we valorize the Attitude Era and we glorify, I'm like, they treated the belts like it didn't mean. Like Albert was Intercontinental Champion before. Godfather was Intercontinental Champion. It's like the titles meant nothing. Nothing at all. It was just, the only time the title meant something was when Triple H had it. Just because you want to see who beat it, Triple H. And it's funny, that's the first time I actually thought about that. And I was like, and that's like when, like, Austin didn't really need the belt. He was Austin. The Rock didn't need the belt. McMahon was great because he finally won, but nobody was thinking about him having title defenses. Same thing on Undertaker. Like, it only meant something when Triple H had it because Triple H just, he actually cared about it and he wanted somebody to beat Triple H. But belts meant a lot less back then than they mean now. Now, for the beside Austin Theory, the majority of the champ, like, you know, Roman Reigns having the belt damn sure means something. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens went through hell to get those belts. Gunter is getting close, and we didn't talk about that match. We can wrap with that match. Is he going to break the Honky Tonk Man record, or is Drew going to win?
I'm going to go with your line here for most of this show. That one is a little bit of a mystery to me. You know, Drew's in the category of people that could beat him, and Gunther could move on to the big championship if they want to.
Yes.
Because I took it down, but I had it up earlier. He's definitely, Gunther's going to be, number eight for title reigns by the time this match happens. He's going to beat Randy Savage by the time, for a single title reign.
I think he's like, I want to say maybe 20. 25 days away from the Honky Tonk Man? Like, he getting close.
Yes. I think he's at 413 and Honky Tonk Man is 434 or something like that.
So it's wild. Like, he getting close. And it's like, people know. I mean, Drew can beat him and people would be like, it's believable. It's wild because people wonder if Drew was going to resign. Like, Drew is just vanished. He just shows up. It's like, I'm back. Like, him and Lashley just showed up. I was like, yeah, I'm back. And you know they're going to have a hard-hitting match. You know they're going to have a, like, that WrestleMania match, they were kicking each. Like, him, those two and Sheamus, they were fighting. Like, they out here trying to prove a damn point, calling Americans a bunch of pansies. And I remember that match. And I would just say Gunther becoming this big deal and getting the chance to become this is a miracle. Because we both know how they used to treat people who used to look like that. And that were foreigners. And the fact that Gus, like, I'm going to get in shape. And you're going to have to, if you fire me, you're going to regret it. And the fact that they treat him like a big damn deal and made that belt mean something is excellent. Like, I don't know who, like, people saying a lot. I don't know who's going to win. And I would be fine with either one of them. Like, part of me just wants Gus to win because I'm sick of the Honky Tonk Man having that record.
The WWE does not live on spite as much as it used to as far as these title reigns go. It kind of feels like one of those times, though. It's just like, have a real champion be the one that's held that belt the longest in one single reign, quite frankly. And Gunther seems like the man to accomplish that goal. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I do think that a win over Drew is maybe slightly bigger than a win over Sheamus, who's had a bunch of great matches. They haven't really put him into the main event though.
Yes. But he's getting there. I think him hanging that long in the Royal Rumble showed that, like, they know what they have with him. And it's kind of like, I see Gunther as, like, the first person Cody Rhodes challenges when he's world champion. I could definitely see them have, like, a Sting Vader type feud where it's like, they will have some great matches and people going to be crying. Oh, no, we cannot end the show without talking about Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar beat up that man in front of his family and laughed. How did I forget that?
Because we covered a lot of other stuff about that, that feud not being believable.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, as much as I enjoy happy Brock Lesnar cowboy, prick Brock Lesnar will always have a warm spot in my heart. That man beat that boy up in front of his mama. I'm like, that is old school. Stunt, that is what Stunt Granny was built upon. And that was not a Stunt Granny in the crowd. That was his real mama. Not no fake mama, not no stunt mama. His real mother. Like, leave my son alone. And it's just like, that's, you know what? Sometimes the classics work. And it's funny where Brock is just bullying him because he took his spot on the... I still don't... Like, you took my spotlight?
Yeah, it's still been a very vague reason about why Brock Lesnar did this whole thing.
Because Brock not the type to care about stuff like that. He's like, I'm about my money and my title. I don't care about nothing else. But it's just this whole thing, like, you taking my shot and I didn't like it. And Cody out here, like, I made you bleed, and I'm going to run through you. If you're the mountain I climb, like, Cody talking real tough like Craig from Friday. And I hope he got his break, because it's been a long, like, Cody is talking at Brock like, yeah, I know you tough and everything like that, but I'm tough too, and I'm going to show you. And Brock like, all right. Well, I can't wait for you to try to show me. Yeah, show me what you're going to do. And I know people talk about it. That Cody Rhodes flint, that walk he has.
Oh.
I know he has to be on the joke because he has done it more than once. It is just, I remember the first time I saw it, I didn't pay any mind. But like the third time I saw him, I'm like, why is he walking? Like, everything about Cody Rhodes is hilarious.
Yeah, why is he walking? Like, I just, for some reason, I got the image of Popeye in my head.
Yes. Like, he's basically like a wild walk. And it's like, I have, and the funny thing about Cody Rhodes now is, I think he's very self-aware in a way that I didn't think he was in AEW. Like, AEW, I thought he was kind of obtuse about certain things. WWE is like, he feels like he's in on the joke, and he's just rolling with it and just make it work. and he's just a type where it's like, he works better in WWE. Like, he is a WWE superstar. He works a lot better in WWE because it's like, he's a theater kid. They like that, and they treat him like he's important. He carries himself like he's important. The fans see that, and they're down with, like, Cody. Everything about Cody Rhodes screams, I'm a big deal. I love the fans. I give the fans what they want. I'm going to present myself in a way that I'm a big deal, important, and you're going to see that. Like, everything about him scream, I'm champion. And if you would have saw Cody Rhodes before he left WWE, you would have, and you, it's like, I'm like him, Drew McIntyre, and Lashley is like, they're just completely different people from their first going to their current going.
Oh, yeah. Cody might be the biggest transformation, honestly.
I was very skeptical about Cody. And then one day I was just like, you know what? Nah, he got it. I don't know what it is, but he got it. And they know he got it, and they treat him like a guy. I know what it was. When they had the Cody clock.
No.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes will be here in 45 minutes. And I sat there, and I was like, I know they used to say Stone Cold be at the top of the hour. He never had a goddamn Austin 316 clock. And they only did it for, like, I think maybe two episodes, but I was just laughing. I was like, yeah, they are really, I guess they really saw something in him, man. I just wonder As we wrap it up, how many people in AEW is kind of like, I know from some of OC, he ain't finished his story. I'm like, if you see Cody Rhodes now, you think he a failure? Then I don't know what to tell you. Like, no, he is not failing at all. I know people's like, you know what? Maybe they treat me like this. I wonder how Jay White feel.
Yeah, as much as I still do not really agree with the WrestleMania decision, Cody Rhodes is none the worse for it.
He better off because they gave him sympathy, and they gave him layers, and then he's get to do this thing with Brock. Like, he long term, like short term was a pain in the ass. Long term, it's going to be a benefit.
No.
Like, yeah, he's going to be better off for it. And it's like, sometimes you got to lose before you win. Like, it's rare where it's like, it just works out the way it wants the first time you do it. Because, like, even The Rock had to go through that. Even after The Rock got over, it was like, you know, he's going to, like, The Rock, Jeff Hardy. It's rare if you Brock Lesnar. Where it's like, it just, you're just getting everything you're supposed to get for the first time. And I think, after they saw what happened with Brock Lesnar, they kind of afraid to do that with anybody else because they like, we create a monster we can't control. He leaved and we ass out. It's like, do we really want to do that? I think the last person they kind of did that with is like Roman Reigns. And then it was such a backlash with Reigns. Where it's like they kind of...
They did that until they decided to have him lose it, like, 5 consecutive WrestleManias.
You know, somebody posted something about heel turns out of nowhere. I remember when I forgot that it happened. Dean Ambrose turned on Seth Rollins the episode where Roman Reigns said he had to leave because his cancer came back. Oh. Just saying that, it's like, I know it's wrestling, but really? I'm just saying that. I'm like, both times the shield turns is out. Like, the first one was like, everybody thought Dean was going to turn, it was Seth, and that was out of nowhere. It was like, oh, Triple H is just Dr. Doom. Like, that's just, and that was right after they beat Evolution and Batista retired. And it was like, I got my own plan. But that, because that Roman thing, I got to leave, my cancer came back, people were crying. And then to have that in the, and then to have the show in that way, like, I was like, I know it's wrestling, we do stuff like that, but that's still, I don't know how I feel about that one.
Yeah, that's one of those moments where it's just like, guys, you were a little bit extra today. Like, you kind of say it all the time. If you're in on wrestling, you're in on wrestling. There's some certain aspects to it that you just have to accept. It's just like, sometimes they even cross that kind of line. It's just like, I don't know about that.
What stood out about it is like, I thought we were past stuff. Like, they used to do that stuff all the time. I thought we had like kind of like elevate ourselves. We were better than, like, we were past on stuff like that. Like, we were better than that. Because it wasn't like, because I remember the Eddie Guerrero stuff. And then I remember all the stuff after Eddie Guerrero. And it was like, some of that shit was like, I felt bad for Randy Orton for like having to do that. But I was like, some of that stuff was just like, tacky would be a nice way of saying it. Like, just tasteless. But that, because it was like, the Roman shit was real. Like, yeah, I didn't know I had cancer, came back. I don't know when I'm going to come back. And people are crying and sad. It's like, yeah, that word. Oh. It's like, people think about leukemia. Like, yeah, leukemia is cancer. And it's like, the big dog, the man you think is invincible, I don't know when I'm going to be back wrestling. And then your two friends who are friends in real life, I'm going to turn on you at the end of the show and just lay you out. It is like, I'm just like... Yeah, that's a great way in the show. Like, I love wrestling, but some of the stuff they do sometimes is... I mean, that's almost as bad as when Nikki told Brie, I wish you died in the womb. And I'm like...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I'm like, really? Y'all can't work this out.
I'm just playing a part, man.
That one just... That just felt... I love that feud. We between the Bellas and Stephanie McMahon, I hate everything that happened after that match, though. So, I will say it was just hilarious when Stephanie laid out Bree and then basically forced herself on Triple H. And Triple H was like, turn on, like, this is the woman I married. And it's like, that entire feud was excellent because it was like, Triple H was feuding with Daniel Bryan and his wife was feuding with the Bella sisters. It was like Brie Bella was the most over woman they had in a long time. Like, you wanted Brie Bella to kick the shit out of Stephanie because Stephanie was always, besides when she was SmackDown GM, Stephanie was always easy to hate. And it just felt like, because Stephanie seemed like she was like that in real life. And then how that mess turned out, like Nikki turned on her sister out of jealousy and was like, I wish you died in birth. Like, y'all wrestling. Like, y'all don't gotta, like, die. Like, okay, what if she died? Then you can't do twin magic by yourself, Nikki.
Well, they stopped being able to do that a long time ago, so.
Yeah, when they were from the Bella twins to the Bella sisters, I'm like, yeah, they don't look the same no more because somebody started doing push-ups. And we'll leave it at that.
Oh, man, fair enough. Bell time beer on my end here. Finally remembered that I specifically saved a couple of beers for Christmas in July type circumstances here. Lower Left Brewing Company out of Charlotte, South End Santa Oatmeal Cookie Christmas Ale. It's pretty solid. It's a nice darker ale. It's not overly spiced. It's not completely sweet. Sometimes the oatmeal stouts get a little bit sweet sometimes with the extra raisin in there, but it is not at this current for this beer. So, if you happen to be in Charlotte, Lower Left Brewing Company, I can attest from having been stranded there on a work trip and having Jeremy show me around that Lower Left is quite tasty should you decide to attend their brewery. So that is at DeFrango, Levin's Choice. Yeah, he is at Philly Drugs. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Shahid, the honors are yours, sir.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and good luck to all the participants at the Great American Bash at SummerSlam, unless your name is Austin Theory. To hell with you. We are out.